Good evening. Welcome to Four Dose production of Milkshake Monday. Just wanted to have you all welcome to say we're glad to have you here. Tonight's episode is Surprised When Your Flesh Shows Up. Surprised When Your Flesh Shows Up. Now, the thing about our flesh we have to understand is that we don't really have a great control of our flesh. The spirit is always willing, but the flesh is weak. And there are times when we will find out that we think we are arrogant because we think we can control the flesh, and we put ourselves in positions that cause us to fall and sin. But the reality is we are like Spider-Man before the bite. We are like Superman in front of kryptonite. We are like Samson in the lap of Delilah. It's like me in front of dark chocolate and hot fries. There are some things that I am tempted, and if I really want to resist, I don't put myself in that position. But some of us get to the point to say, oh, we're so super spiritual. We can do these things. We can get in front of these things. We can put ourselves in the position. But I'm saying don't do it, because the flesh is weak. And it's like this shadow that's always with us. And somehow when we don't think the shadow is roaring and raging, we say, oh, we can handle it. But in reality, if you are not prayed up and in the word of God and letting the spirit rule you and a lot of things, you can get yourself in trouble. So we're going to go through a lot of scripture tonight, and I'm going to try to make it slow down, but we have scripture to go through. So let's go to the very beginning. Christ says in two separate scriptures about we having to deny ourselves. So I'm going to go to the first one, because that first one is a little bit more unique than the second scripture. So the first scripture is Luke chapter 9, verse 23 in the NIV. Then he said to them all, meaning Jesus Christ, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. That word daily is not in the next version of scripture I'm going to read, but must take up their cross daily and follow me. Matthew 16 verses 24 through 26 says it a little bit more in depth. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? So we see that Christ is saying, if you really want to be a disciple of his, you need to deny yourself. You need to really put down that fleshly part of you. But let's go to some examples tonight, because I think that when we start from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we see example after example of how the flesh rears its head. And really, it's for the purposes of what Satan wants to do, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. So let's start with our first parents. We reference in Genesis 3 the name of Eve, the woman. But in Genesis 5, she actually gets her name. So the temptation is of Adam, who is in the woman form of Eve, and the male form of Adam. So they're both standing at the tree, and they have this crafty serpent initiate a conversation with Eve. And how our flesh will start is there's a conversation, there's a discussion, there's something going on in our mind that we're thinking and contemplating on. And when it comes to Eve, she's entering into this conversation, and what you're going to find is that she has a wrong understanding of what the word of God, through her husband, who has been explained by the Father, what they are not to do regarding this tree. And when she says extra words and says, he shall not touch it, she's gotten the word wrong. She's in the wrong conversation with the wrong being. In this case, it's the crafty Satan. And she finds herself listening to a strange voice. So what we find is that he said to the woman, did God actually say? He's questioning God, and she's letting the conversation go forward, but she's still entertaining that this conversation is started by the fact that she's questioning, that Satan is questioning God, and she's still talking to him. And the husband is right there still allowing this conversation to happen. Now, as she comes back in the next verse saying, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, but God said. Her "but God said" was out of line, because she got the wrong words. But she says, but God says you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Her husband's right there. He's not correcting her. So she has this misunderstanding. She's having the wrong conversation with the wrong being. But the serpent said to the woman, causing doubt, and when the flesh starts to rear up, it's because we have the wrong information, talking to the wrong people, and we are doubting God's promises, God's truths, God's principles. And all of a sudden, we're giving more priority to our flesh, which is rising up. Satan says, for you will not surely die, for God knows. Now, he's supposed to tell Eve, with Adam standing there, more about God than they understand. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So now the flesh, her mind is thinking, God is withholding something. I can't trust God because this crafty one is telling me I don't even know the God that I'm talking about. So all of a sudden, why is the flesh puffing up? Why is the flesh starting to take a more priority role than what God's word is saying? Long story short, she eats the fruit. She takes the fruit and says, I understand what God told me not to do, but I'm going to do it because I'm not thinking God is in the priority position. His word, I don't need to obey. His voice, I don't need to obey. My husband's not correcting me, so I'm going to eat the fruit. Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. She influenced her husband to do disobedient acts against God. And some of us, we do these disobedient acts, but look what happens when our flesh surprises us and shows up. Look what happened to the first parent. Not only did she cause sin, and he caused sin to come because of disobedience. Look what happens. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. After our sin puffs up in some of our natural examples, all of a sudden we'd have had the sex with the guy that we shouldn't have had, or with the girl that we shouldn't have. And all of a sudden our eyes are open, and one day down the road, we're pregnant. One day down the road, there's a sexually transmitted disease. One day down the road, we realize we've been catfished, and who we thought was a single person is not a single person, but a person married with kids. Our eyes are open to the truth after Satan causes our flesh to puff up above and beyond what God says is what he wants in the will of him versus us. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves. When you're surprised by your flesh showing up, all of a sudden you're hiding. You're hiding the disobedience. You're hiding the evil from what you think God won't know what we've done. You can't hide from God. And then you'll see in these scriptures, they didn't just hide themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden, but the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. When your flesh puffs up, you've sinned, you're disobedient, you're outside the will of God, you're hiding. You don't want to hear the voice. You want to hide from the voice because you are afraid to be found out. But guess what? God already knows. God already knows, but Satan puts in your heart, stay away from him. He's not only not telling you the truth, he's holding things from you. You're sinning, you're hiding, now you're afraid. Because I was naked, I hid myself. He said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, now we're blaming. Once your flesh puffs itself up, you go through all these stages to the point that who was your helpmate, who was your love mate, is now your blame mate. That woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. She stepped out of her position. You didn't take a position. So now you're saying her flesh rose up against your flesh, but it was you who is the man. Her rib came out of you. She is bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. But now you're saying, God, because of you, blaming God, blaming the woman. But that's what happens when your flesh pops up. Let's go into another example. Sarai in the case before her name is changed. We find in Genesis 16 that in the English Standard Version of Genesis 16, we'll start at the beginning. But here is the stage. God has promised the heir coming out of Abraham's body and Sarah. But Sarah finds that when her flesh puffs up, she wants to do what some of us want to do when our flesh puffs up. She wants to have the savior complex. She wants to help God. She thinks she could do what God has not done yet. She wants to get out in front of God. So she says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, has borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. Now, I want y'all to understand when you read these scriptures, we have a woman who's a wife of a man. She has a servant girl. She's going to offer her servant girl to have sex with her husband. Now, y'all seen many of soap operas. That does not end well. You can say out of your mouth through your mind that you can handle it, but you know your man is going to have sex with another woman. And the outcome of what you set that up was that you're going to have sex and she's going to get pregnant and you think it's going to work out. Your flesh is doing something where you think you know better than God. You think that your solution for the problem of being barren is that you'll figure it out. God says one thing, you say another, because your flesh is not being denied. Your flesh is being puffed up. And Sarah thinks she'll tell her husband how she's going to make this happen. What God has promised, he can't do it. He's not timely. Let me do it. Let my flesh, let my wisdom, let my mind, let my intellect figure this out. And this is what we're going to do. And Sarah said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has prevented me. God ain't done what he's supposed to do. The Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children. I think if you do this, I can get the children that I'm supposed to have, that he promised you, but he's not delivering. It says here that I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. Adam listened to his wife, Eve, as both of their flesh were being puffed up to know better than God's word, better than God's promises. And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. Sarai is how it's pronounced. So after Abraham had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. That's sex. They're going to be having sex. And he went in to Hagar and she conceived. She got pregnant. As old as he is, he's had sex and now there's a baby coming. And when she saw that she had conceived, that's Hagar, she looked with contempt on her mistress, that's Sarai. She's got the baby. Sarai's barren. She's got contempt for Sarai because, hey, I'm having sex with your husband. I had no problem getting pregnant. I'm pregnant. I'm going to have the heir. She's showing contempt for her mistress. And now Sarah's idea is coming back to backfire on how she's going to react. It says here, and Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. Whose idea was it? Whose mind puffed up to say, I've got the answer, but now she's upset. May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, your servant is in your power. This is your girl. Do to her as you please. Sarah already got an attitude. Sarah's already upset. So now her idea is that Sarah dealt harshly with her. Her flesh has puffed up to the point she's harsh to the maidservant that she gave to her husband because of the attitude of the maidservant toward her. And she fled from her. So Sarah wanted her to be gone. But this is not the end of the story of what happened with Sarah. Sarah is just another example of how we behave when we try to get in front of God and we try to do our own things. And then when it doesn't work out like we think, we get angry and frustrated. And then we start to do things that don't seem in our character, but it's in our flesh's nature. Fast forward to Genesis 18. We're not going to read all of 1 through 20, but I want you to understand again, because of time, I got to summarize some of this. You have Christ in his incarnate flesh coming with two angels because they're about to judge what they've seen happen in Sodom and Gomorrah with all of the evil and homosexuality and behaviors. But they stop and Abram has a conversation with them to the point that they're going to have fellowship and bread with them. They're going to eat with them. And so he's going to ask Sarah to fix some food. That's what's happening in the first verses. But then as she's preparing and things are going on, the conversation starts in verse 9 of Genesis 18 to say, they said to him, meaning Jesus and the angel, said to Abram, where is Sarah? The name has changed from Sarai to Sarah. Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. The Lord said, now I want you to understand, Sarah's fixed the meal, got it together quick. So she's feeling pretty good about herself. The Hagar story is a couple chapters before, but she's feeling good about herself. She's listening in to see what's happening. He says in verse 10, the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now, she's already tried to put her hand in having a kid through Hagar, but now this is the Lord talking that she's going to have a son, and Sarah was listening. Now, here's where your flesh shows up in your mind again, and your mind is thinking and your mouth starts speaking, but your mind is reacting to what all you have felt inside, your frustration, what you really believe and what you don't believe on the promises that God is giving to you. So she says here, and Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now, Abram and Sarah were old. Abram was old before when he just had sex enough with Hagar and he had a baby, Ishmael. Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. Y'all know we bleed and we have menstruation so that we can have children. She's old. That stuff is gone. So what God is saying, he's supernaturally saying that she's going to be visited next year and they're going to have sexual relations and she's going to get pregnant. All the things of nature are going to be overcome by the fact that God is saying this is going to happen. No menstrual, old man, old woman, baby's going to be conceived and baby's going to come out healthy and be the promise of God. So in her mind, verse 12, so Sarah laughed to herself. Your flesh will laugh at God's promises. Your flesh will say, God, you don't know what you're talking about. Your flesh will say, no, not happening. Like she said in Genesis 16, God has prevented me from having children. Now God is saying again, he didn't say it before in person. He told Abram about the promises in Genesis 12 and more about in 15. But now we're at 18 and she says here, just like we would say it, we would say it like she said it. So Sarah laughed to herself and sang, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? We're going to get kick boots and we're going to get conceive a baby and I'm going to get pregnant and I ain't got no menstrual. Really, y'all know this is the reality of what we would say. The Lord said to Abram, not to Sarah, because Sarah's in the tent having this conversation with herself, laughing with herself, but God is all knowing. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Nobody said that Abraham knew what was said. God knew what was said. Is anything too hard for the Lord at the appointed time? I will return to you about this time next year. And Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it. Now she's in the tent. She denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. Didn't we just hear how Adam said to God, I heard you and I was afraid. Now Sarah's heard herself get busted out by Christ himself, and she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. We will lie with our flesh to tell God, no, we didn't do this. No, it's not like you said, God. Our flesh has done something and we think we could cover it up. Just like they thought in Adam and Eve's, they could cover up, they could hide. And Sarah thought she could hide that she laughed at God. But God corrected her because he said, no, 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 no. You ain't fooling me. You did laugh. Keep on. We're going to go to something else because I want to see that we are surprised when our flesh shows up, but it's our shadow. It's always there. We just have to recognize that no matter where we are in our situation and our thinking and whatever's happening in our life, we have to always remember that Christ said we have to deny ourselves. We have to take up our cross daily, every day. When you wake up, praise God, thank God, but know that you're still having to contend with this flesh. And guess what? Satan is always behind the scenes trying to steal, kill, and destroy. I have to move quicker. David, in the story of him in killing Uriah, having sex with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, when we all heard in 2 Samuel 12, you art the man, David didn't think that his flesh was going to be caught. He found his flesh lying on a couch outside the will of where he was supposed to be as the king. He was supposed to be in battle, but his flesh was lazy. His flesh was just taking it easy, not being the warrior, not being the soldier, not being the leader. He was taking it easy because that's what our flesh wants to do. When we're idle, we get in trouble. And his eyes saw something he wanted. He could have had other things, but his flesh said, that's what I want. I'm going to take that. So when this story that Nathan starts to tell David, and you have to read it, started chapter 12 of 2 Samuel and read all the way down for the whole section that there is, but I'm going to only read start at verse 5 and end at 10, but I want you to read that whole story. The story is told, David's upset. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He's got all this righteous indignation, so we think, because it's not about him. It's not about his flesh. It's not about his dirty deeds. It's about somebody else's. Because when you're in your flesh, you can see everybody else but yourself. You can't see what's in the man in the mirror. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Nathan said to David, you are the man. Surprise! You are the man. It was your flesh. It was your dirty deeds. You tried to hide it by trying to get the man drunk so he can have sex with his wife. He was honorable. He didn't do it. You tried to hide this. And when you couldn't hide it, you couldn't cover it up like your father, Adam, like your descendants of Sarah trying to hide the lie. You killed the man. You killed a man. And here's what God says. I want y'all to see how many times God says, I. He says, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel of Judah and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord? Eve despised, Adam despised, Sarah despised the word of the Lord, the promise of the Lord. David despised the promises and the word of the Lord. And God says, why have you despised it? Because his flesh puffed up. His flesh took control. And you keep going on. I got to keep moving. Now, I want you to understand something, that when you're surprised by your flesh, you don't recognize that the whole purpose of the flesh puffing up is for our destruction. And Satan wants us to be destroyed. And even in the midst of our desperation, our pain, our misunderstandings, what we don't understand, God knows that Satan wants to kill us. And I'm going to show you in the next couple of examples that that's exactly why we see some people's flesh puffing up, even in their depression, even in them wanting to feel that they just don't have a way to move forward. I'm going to show you. I'm going to turn the camera real quickly. Here we are in Acts, the New Testament. And Acts 16, verse 25 through 34. Here are Paul and Silas who are in the jailhouse. The jailhouse has, the men are there and they're singing hymns, even though they're being jailed, they're followers after Christ. They're still trusting God. In our flesh, we would be afraid. We'd be wondering what's going to happen. But in this case of the men of God, Paul and Silas, they're singing hymns. And there's this great earthquake that's going to happen. When God shows up, he shows up powerfully. But I want you all to focus on what the self wants to do with the jailer. Steal, kill, and destroy. Now, suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake. We're in Acts 16, starting at verse 26 now. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke up, he went to sleep at his job as a jailer, as a person that is a correctional officer today. Prisoners are behind the bars. When he wakes up, he saw. And sometimes our mind will see something, hear something, experience something, and immediately fear, desperation. And when you're so desperate, you think the only way that I can get out of this fix is to kill myself, to end it all. And this is what reared up. That man went to work, leaving his family, never thinking that his flesh would get so emotionally distraught and in despair that he was willing to kill himself. Some people that are murdering themselves through suicide, they didn't think that their flesh had it in them to do that. Some people will give signals that they want to commit suicide, but some people will get so desperate that Satan will whisper in their ear so desperately to say, kill yourself. That's the answer. And look what this man does. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword. He drew his sword after seeing the prison doors were open. No investigation, misunderstanding. It's like Eve. She didn't understand the word of God. This jailer didn't understand what was happening. He assumed and was getting ready to kill himself. Some people assume their relationships are over. They assume because they lost money, their life is over. They assume. And they say, I just need to kill myself. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, do not harm yourself. For we are all here. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, trembling with fear. Here's that fear again. But this time this fear is like, I need something. I got to put down this flesh. I've been hearing y'all sing tonight, hymns of glory. I need something. And he, trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And you keep on reading. Now, I need to take these last few minutes on a few scriptures, but I want to dig deep on how you can see the flesh puffing up in the character that we always see, Judas Iscariot. Because we know that John speaks that he is the son of perdition, that he was never a part of the chosen disciples that Christ was really keeping because they knew that the scripture had to be fulfilled and he was a betrayer. But I want to show you about the fleshly nature of Judas. I'm going to show you from the very beginning. Go to John chapter 12, verse 5 through 6. Judas was a thief. Satan's whole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. This was the son of perdition. This was an advocate, an agent of Satan, full of what the devil wants. Verse 5, there is a lady that's coming and she's using her alabaster, breaking it in preparation for Jesus' burial. And she's given a very expensive perfume that Judas is outraged because he's saying that perfume should have been sold for money to come into the treasury of their ministerial efforts. That's what on its face he was trying to show outrage. But the truth of it was he was stealing from the bag of money and offerings that they were getting. And so it's exposed here in John 12, 5 through 6. Here's Judas speaking. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 shillings and given to the poor? Now this he said, not because he cared for the poor. Those 300 shillings were not that he was expecting to give to the poor. He was going to line his pockets, but because he was a thief and having the bag, the money, he was the treasurer, took away what was put therein. Stealing for his own self. But then he betrays. He's going to go because he was so ticked off about the money he's not going to get. He goes to betray Jesus, thinking he can get some money that way. And this whole 30 pieces of silver crap starts, which is in the Word of God. Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, what will you give me? Self. Surprising. His self has showed up, but his self has always been there. What will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Let's jump to the actual betrayal. He's already got the place. He's told the guards, temple guards are going out. They're going out at night, going to get Jesus. Look what he does. Matthew 26, verses 47 through 50. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, the one I will kiss is the man, seize him. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, friend, do what you came to do. I already know you done puffed up self. I already know you betrayed me. I already know your constitution. I already know that you're the son of perdition. They came, laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Now, here's how Satan will always want to happen if you allow yourself to keep doing exactly what self wants to do. Satan's whole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. So you being surprised when yourself shows up, you keep letting yourself show up. Its whole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Look how Judas, who was full of self, ended. It says here in Matthew 27, verse 3 through 5. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind. The mind that was full of self, that wanted money, that wanted to be thief, that wanted to steal from the treasury, that wanted to sell him, that wanted to get back at him. He changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders saying, I have sinned. Myself is puffed up and I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See to it yourself, self. See to it yourself. But the chief priest taking the pieces of silver. No, let me go back. I apologize. Verse 5. And throwing down the pieces of silver. He's stolen enough. He's lied enough. He's betrayed enough. He's given back the money because self has betrayed him to the point he knows he has betrayed innocent blood and he's wrong. He threw the pieces of silver into the temple. He departed. He went and hanged himself. He hanged himself. Suicide. The jailer didn't commit suicide because he was stopped, but Judas Iscariot hanged himself. And you keep reading the rest of that scripture. But John 17, 12 says, Christ says, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I've guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of perdition or the son of destruction in the ESV, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, I've spoken a lot of scripture tonight, but I wanted to say this one passage of scripture because I was telling my neighbor the examples and he says, are you going to Romans 1? I had not planned to go to Romans 1, but it's a good teaching and I wanted to share this part of Romans 1 because what we have going on now is all flesh. We have people that are, I'm going to read it for the word of God because this is exactly what's happening. I'm in Romans 1 and we're going to start with verse 26 going to 32 and I'm just going to read it. For this reason, God gave them up to the vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts for one another. Back in Sodom and Gomorrah, we saw what was happening then, and they're talking about it in the New Testament. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debase mind, to do the things which are not fitting. Here's the list of flesh, 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 being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteousness judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Self, self, self. The whole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But I wanted to leave on a positive note to show an example in the scriptures where a woman of older age denies herself. We're going to go into the last scripture of Luke 2, verses 36 through 38 to talk about Anna. Anna, before Christ was born, during his 33 years of his ministry time, during his time where he was crucified, she found herself doing the work of the ministry. She was denying herself even before she heard the teaching that Christ talks about the disciples, but she was a follower of the ministry of God. It says here in verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she had been a widow even unto 84 years, which is 84 years old, who departed not from the temple, worshiping and fasting and supplications night and day. She was carrying her cross daily. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks unto God and spoke of him to all them that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And you see that she was able to see the Christ child. Now, surprise when your flesh shows up. I normally have a Monday night milkshake Monday, and I don't really start working on the next milkshake Monday, probably until late Tuesday night or Wednesday. It was that morning last week that it came, and I was like, wow. And I normally don't type up notes until days later. I got on my computer and started typing up notes. I was so excited. And I just want us to share an understanding that none of us is immune from our flesh. Christ talks to us to tell us in that first scripture that those who of us who want to be his disciples have to deny ourselves. our flesh, our self, that part of us that wants to do our will, always wants to exert itself, puff itself up above the things that God has told us in the Word of God. We say in our minds, oh no, we'd never do that. And we're surprised every time when our flesh shows up, as though somehow it went somewhere. Our flesh is with us. And God says, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And he tells us this. And he tells us that if we have to deny ourselves, mortify the deeds of the flesh, because that's all the flesh wants to do. And that's the very thing that Satan keeps coming at us, because we think that we're special. We're super spiritual, that somehow being 80, 70, 60, 50, 20, that we're so spiritual that somehow we ain't got to worry about our flesh. And we're in denial about what Christ is telling us every day. Carry our cross, take up our cross every day, daily. And we must deny ourselves. Deny. And I just wanted to come by and say, I don't know why we should be surprised when our flesh shows up, because as the Word of God says from the very beginning, Christ says it in Matthew 16, 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We have to deny ourselves and follow him. Now, Lord willing, I pray to see you next time. Please share on whatever platform you want to, whether it's the podcast or it's the YouTube channel or Facebook, or you can go to our website. There are some Stand offerings there that show you the overview of Stand. It's interesting to me that I'm finding that when I talk about the Fordo's offerings of teaching, that I've been explained by women and men, pastors, that I'm being sent to the women's ministry, which is fine. I'm excited. I don't mind what ministry wants to look into the offerings of the teachings for Stand or Milkshake Monday or Marriage in a Checkout Line, all of those offerings. But it's interesting that because I assume because I'm a woman that I only can talk to the women. But these teachings are for men and women. These talks that are for Stand on career and finance and relationships and all these things are for men and women. Because I happen to be female doesn't mean I can only speak to females. The Word of God, the teachings, the life experiences and lessons that God has given me over the time, and he's gifted me through the Spirit of God. It's his will to give me the spirit to teach, to encourage, and to be hospitable is not just for women. But if you all are going to delegate or relegate me to women, fine. But I think it's for men and women. And I hope to God, I pray that the Lord will allow me to share what God has given me to share through Fordo's production to everybody. Man, woman, boy, or girl. I pray that that would be done. And I need you all to spread the message. I still see that there are only a few dozen who have subscribed to the YouTube channel. There's not a lot of activity that I can see, but I'm believing God. I'm going to continue to prepare and to be ready and to trust God that he's asked me to do. He tells us all, Matthew 28, go. I'm ready to go. I'm preparing to go. So thanks be to God, I'm available to go. And the Lord says, the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. So I am saying, God, use me. I'm one of the laborers. You're one of the laborers. Let's get to work and share the message of God. I love you, and Lord willing, I'll see you next time. God bless.